Good morning.
Good morning.
On this wonderful day of celebration, please join me in the call to worship printed in your bulletin. A new day has dawned. God's gift of life is renewed in you and me.
Praise God for today. Praise God for the creative spirit in our midst.
Be still and know that God is here. Let the Spirit in.
We are ready to pray.
Then listen and respond to God, who meets us in new ways and in different sounds, today in worship and every day in the world.
Come to us, O God, and guide our worship. Speak to us the word we need, and let that word change us and empower us to be your people.
Let us pray. God, this new day we praise you with joy. You take our weary lives and refresh us with your Spirit. Awaken us to the challenges and opportunities of each new day. Grant that it might be lived to the fullest. We pray in the name of the one who showed us the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.
Hymn number 461.
Thank you.
often we miss the mark of being what we were created to be and doing what we have been called upon to do. God grants us forgiveness, which enables us to continue on our journeys of faith, knowing that nothing can separate us from God's love. Gracious God, we hear you calling. You have shown us hope, and you offer us courage. We come to you as people who long to walk in your pathway of grace and love. But many times we get discouraged by our living. We are afraid of the difficult experiences. We despair at challenges that are given to us. The roads we walk find us weary sometimes, and we let hopelessness get the best of us. Care for us on our journey. Help us to know that your love is always there, sustaining us and surrounding us with care. Take our road-weary lives and transform us to be your new people, shining in the darkness. Amen. And now let us in silence offer our own personal prayers of confession. God's word to us is a word of forgiveness, a word of assurance, a word of grace. We are loved and accepted because we are we, and God is God. And nothing can finally separate us from our Creator, our Parent, our Sustainer. Amen. Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. The peace of Christ be with you. Thank you. Join me for the prayer of illumination. Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Amen. The first lesson today is from John chapter 15, verses 16 and 17. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This I command you, to love one another. The second lesson today is from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. But just as we have the same spirit of faith, that is, in accordance with Scripture, "I believed, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal.
Our hymn is 426. Seated. Let us bow together in prayer. May the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, the first word that needs to be said this morning is a word of congratulations to all the fathers present. After all, before we took this day and made it into a celebration of the 50th anniversary of my ordination into the Christian ministry, it was your day. And it was your day alone. In my single state, I have no legitimate right to this day. You celebrate today, and I celebrate my independence on the 4th of July. And yet, in one sense, it's all right for this 50th anniversary to take place on Father's Day. For instance, if we were in the Roman Catholic tradition, or the Episcopal tradition, or the Orthodox tradition, you would be calling me Father. How's that, my children? No, I really think of our relationship as being brothers and sisters in the faith, following in the ministry of our elder brother, the Savior of the world, who called us to love and serve our one Father, our Heavenly Father, the Eternal God. So let me offer my congratulations, and not just my congratulations, but the congratulations of all who are here this morning, to the men present who are fathers who have played a fatherly role in someone's life. And I would challenge all fathers to take a few moments during the course of this day to thank God for the important task that has been given to you, and to take time to renew your commitment to being a father, a ministry to which you have been called, praying that God might give you the wisdom, the stamina, the gentleness of heart that is necessary. Whether you be a father with children in the infant or child stage, or you be a father whose offspring are now grown up and are on their own or almost there. In both cases, there is still a most significant role for you to play. And there is the need for God's grace to perform it through you. In planning this service this morning, when in a few minutes I will respond to the ordination questions that were asked of me 50 years ago, in which I ask of myself each year on New Year's Day, when, if I'm in town, I stand here in this pulpit in an empty sanctuary. And I did the same thing when I served in Merrick for 25 years. To renew those vows which remain so important to me. And today they will be asked to me by Rachel. And Rachel, I look forward to the day, soon I trust, when they will be asked of you. We talked about who should deliver the sermon this morning, and she felt, bless her heart, that it should be me. And to reflect on those 50 years and probably hearing the voice of all of you out there, she added, briefly. Let me begin by saying that there is a question that has remained constant during that entire 50-year period. What is God calling me to be and to do in this particular place at this particular time? Sometimes the substance of that makes its way into our Sunday order of worship and is made plural, meaning it includes all of us. Today it was in the call to confession, which began, often we miss the mark of what we were created to be and doing what we have been called upon to do. Those words are not original with me. I think I saw them for the first time in a brochure from the Protestant campus ministry at Cornell University way back about 40 years ago. But for me, there has always been a follow-up question which dates back to my undergraduate days at McAllister College in Minnesota. Dr. Arnold Hulse, who was a professor of education at that renowned college that I attended, came into class the first day of class, and I'll never forget what he did. He walked over to the blackboard, took a piece of chalk, and wrote on the board, "What am I doing when I do what I am doing?" Pretty profound. He then sat down and he stared at the class. And as you can imagine, there was no response at all. And after about 5 minutes, he said to the class, "I'll be in my office." And he left our classroom. I guess we were all dumbfounded. Most of us sat around for a few minutes and then left. On the second day of class, Holtz did the very same thing. And we exhibited the same kind of response. Except this time, after he left the classroom, there was a response. Irritation. Anger. We were paying good money for what we thought would be words of wisdom coming from his lips, coming from the associate professor of education with his PhD. Some were ready to go to the head of the department to state our case. And yet that question has stayed with me through all these years. And in my thinking has become the follow-up question to what is God calling me to be and to do at this particular time in this particular place? You see, maybe what is happening as a result of my doing is not what I hope my actions would accomplish. A quick example to illustrate. I feel called upon to help people in need. That's not only part of my calling, that's part of my makeup. And I've been called upon to try to help them out, to do whatever might be the appropriate thing at that time. But maybe what I'm doing, however, is really simply being an enabler that keeps that person from doing things that the person should be doing for himself or herself. And certainly, therefore, that's a question that I need to keep in front of me every time I've been in some form of protest out there on the streets on a concern or an issue before our country or before our church, feeling God is calling me to be there and to speak. But what am I doing when I do what I'm doing? Because perhaps the response is not the one I intended. Well, you know, the being and doing part is solidly based on our two scripture lessons this morning. The two verses that Liz read from the 15th chapter of John makes it very clear. You did not choose me, but I chose you, Tom Phillip. I chose you, and the rest of you could put your own name in there because you also have been chosen. The verse continues to do what in this place and at this time, to bear fruit. Remember the fruits we are to bring into fruition? Those of you who were here last month, May 6th to be exact, heard me recite them again in my sermon titled, Pruning the Branches. I really worked on that. You know, you get a little raise in your salary serving a Scotch Presbyterian church if you can say pruning the branches. They're listed in Paul's letter to the Galatians. Love, joy, peace, patience. Yes, Lord, grant me patience and grant it to me now. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Yes, Tom, keep cool even when it doesn't come out the way you intended. Throughout my ministry, I've been radical enough to say that being a Christian is not so much a matter of what you believe as much as what you produce. The fruits of the Spirit. And the gospel says fruits that are lasting. Darcy and Sean have put together two different displays attempting to cover my 50 years in ministry. I haven't really seen them yet, so I'm assuming they're put together. Darcy's is to be made up of pictures of me. You'll get to see me in my better looking days. In fact, that displays, I believe, even have my baby pictures and my growing up as well as pictures during my years in ministry. And Sean, knowing that I have taken what at the time were some controversial stands on war and peace, on civil rights, on a woman's right to choose, on the Israeli-Palestinian issue, on the rights of GLBT persons, both in society and in our church, asked me to try to dig in the files to find articles from the newspapers that reflects some of this, and he has my scrapbook containing some of that, which you might find interesting to look over, or maybe even actually read. The second scripture lesson that Liz read from 2 Corinthians undergirds that type of ministry. Paul begins, "Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart," followed by some clauses I would lift up. "We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth," I comment, "do we dare say humbly but emphatically today, thus says the Lord," as we are faced with concrete examples of injustice, of inhumanity, of hate and not love, of war and not peace. The verse continues, "We would commend ourselves to every person's conscience in the sight of God. Let light shine in the darkness." But then it says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." We do not lose heart because we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. You know, I will continue to pray in the words of the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth," and work for the establishment of God's kingdom, bearing all those fruits of the Spirit that Paul indicated. Well, I've spelled out the mandates that have shaped my ministry and shaped my life, and yes, I'm keeping it brief. What is God calling me to be and do in this particular place at this particular time, followed by what am I doing when I do what I'm doing? And now a word as to what keeps me going in seeking to address issues of injustice instead of justice for all, acts of inhumanity instead of seeing God in every one of God's creations, of violence instead of doing those things that make for peace. Robert Louis Stevenson said it so well. And Rachel and Liz, take note. I want these words printed in my memorial service for me. "To travel hopefully is better than to arrive." Let me say that again. "To travel hopefully is a better thing than to arrive." And friends, that is why my benediction almost every Sunday is, "And now may that light, which shone in Jesus Christ in our Lord, shine in our hearts and in our minds through the indwelling word, and may that hope which love and faith restores, be in us and abide with us, now and forevermore. Amen."
Now, dear uncle, I'd like to ask you the questions for ordination, and I want you to think carefully about your responses because it's a little late to turn back now. And one day you will ask these questions of me. One day soon, I hope. "Do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior? Acknowledge Him Lord of all and Head of the Church, and through Him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?"
"I do."
"Do you accept the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the Church Universal and God's Word to you.
I do.
Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our Church as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God?
I do and I will.
Will you fulfill your office in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions?
I will with God's help.
Will you be governed by our church's polity and will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's word and spirit?
I will.
Will you, in your own life, seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world?
I will.
Do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church?
I do.
Will you seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love?
I will, trusting that I can continue what I've been trying to do for 50 years.
Will you be a faithful minister, proclaiming the good news in word and sacrament, teaching faith and caring for people? Will you be active in government and discipline, serving in the governing bodies of the church? And in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ?
I will with God's help.
I would like to invite any ordained clergy or elders who are present to come forward with the laying on of hands.
Where there is
Now, as we come to our time for intercessory prayer, I would ask, are there any prayer concerns for this day? Any prayer concerns, Sean?
I have not prayed for you under 50 years of ministry.
Thank you. Okay. Anyone else? If not, then let's bow together in prayer. Eternal God, we acknowledge with gratitude and thanksgiving that we who embrace the message and mission of Jesus of Nazareth, we proclaim as Lord of our lives, that we are called to manifest that in our being and in our doing. Help us to understand the challenge in that for this place and for this time. And may that challenge lead us to explore new opportunities for ministry. May we acknowledge that we are fortunate to be in this place at this time, and may we make the most of it. We are thankful for friends who have joined us this day. Not only have they enriched our worship, their prayers bless this congregation and this pastor, and encourage us to continue to be as faithful as disciples of Christ as have been those who preceded us here in those years from 1759 to the present. May the ministry of this congregation continue to address the issues of the day as did our forefathers and our foremothers, with the same commitment and passion and boldness, not letting the difficulties of doing so squelch their endeavors nor ours. We are thankful for the love that binds us together in a unity that is not uniformity, being a mosaic rather than simply a melting pot, ignoring the uniqueness of each and every person that crosses the threshold of this building. Now we bring before you individuals and situations named this morning. We continue to remember the family of Ben Wiswall, his husband Tom, their three children with their special needs, and Ben's mother Ann and brothers Tom, John, and Richard. May each know of our love and concern. We remember also Larry's friend. We remember those who have been on our thoughts during the course of this week, some known to us only by their name and situation listed in the newspaper or on the local TV news. May we continue to hold in our prayers those who serve our country in Iraq and Afghanistan and other places around the world, even as we remember peoples of those war-torn areas and the heavy loss of life that has taken place. These prayers spoken and the unspoken longings of our hearts, we bring before this community of faith and before our God in the name of our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I want to thank all the visitors who are with us this morning. I want to thank those who participated in this worship service, my two nieces, Rachel and Liz. And I want to thank Mark and the choir and Daryl and Peggy, as well as Darcy and Sean, who put together displays, and Linda, who has invited us to her home for a little celebration after this. You will see in the bulletin some directions to her place. I always give directions wrong here, but if you go up South Country Road, it's the first road to your left, and stay on that as you wind around a little bit until you come to Chimney. Linda's telling you how you can get lost. No.
Well, I don't want to confuse
Okay. Other announcements for the week are listed in your bulletin this morning. Are there any other announcements, Sean?
Today is June 17, 2012. We celebrate two special occasions, Father's Day and Tom's ordination. But first, let's go back in time to June 17, 1962. Brazil beats Czechoslovakia 3-1 to win the 1962 FIFA World Cup Final in Santiago, Chile. In the UK, British Railways closed the former Southeastern Railway Motor Power Depot at Bricklayers Farm in London after 118 years of operation. Jack Nicholson, 21 years at the time, won the U.S. Open Golf Tournament in the playoff against Arnold Palmer at Oakmont Country Club in Oakmont, Pennsylvania. The Beverly Hillbillies are on TV. Ray Charles has the number one hit with I Can't Stop Loving You. The movie Days of Wine and Roses is playing at the local theaters. And Thomas Phillip is ordained Minister of Word and Sacrament at Union Theological Seminary in Manhattan. Today, 50 years later, we here at Old South Haven are privileged to be your church family as you celebrate your 50th anniversary. So on behalf of the congregation of Old South Haven, I present you this present to you in celebration of your 50 years of ministry, and wish you all the best for the next 50 years.
He said, open it, and I trust nothing pops out. Now, if my sister-in-law would be here, she'd say, don't tear the paper, right? We could use it again. Her two daughters are shaking their heads. Oh, look at that. Look at that. Isn't that beautiful? Beautiful stove. Thank you. One thing we learned in seminary and learned when we were ordained, and that's how to say, the ushers will now come forward.
And use both for the unfolding of the kingdom in this place at this time.
any doubt as to what hymn to be used as our closing hymn this morning. Great is thy faithfulness, has been with me since even before my ordination days, and when Peggy knew that this was a hymn that I had chosen, she has played it often for me at this church, and so we're happy to have Peggy at the organ playing. Great is thy faithfulness, hymn number 276.
God give me strength, wisdom, and
may that life be shown in Jesus Christ our Lord, shine in our hearts through the indwelling word. And may that hope, with faith and love restored, be in us and abide with us both now and forevermore. Amen.